Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome back to another edition of the Holtcast. Cole Pettum here as always. And of course, we're here to talk all things Aston Villa Football Club with a 2-0 away win at the Emirates against Arsenal. Not a lot of expectation heading into that one. But again, it's 3 points for Unai Emery's Villa heading into the rest of the final run-in of the season. It's been a massive week for the Villa, so hopefully everyone is having a fine Sunday. At the time of recording, that's what's happening now. You'll probably hear this on the Monday at some point, or Tuesday, or whenever you are listening to this. Thank you for the support. Regardless of that, let's get over to our Alona panelist with me today, Mr. Sebastian Bacon. Seb, how's it going for you, my friend?
Yeah, it's a good job we're on the back of a brilliant result, or else I might be sitting here feeling quite lonely. But a very good way to spend my Sunday. It certainly brightened up my day watching Villa win. And in the fashion that we did it as well. I mean, that's what Sundays are made for. These are the moments in the season where you look back on at the end and you go, that was one of the good days.
For a second there, Seb, I thought you were going to say talking to me was the best part of your Sunday. But you know what? I will take Villa as being the best part of your Sunday, because as a Villa fan, that's the only thing we can ask for. Of course, it's been a fantastic week, fantastic weekend. Of course, Spurs lost, United dropped even more points. So I think we can finally cast them to the side and leave that conversation in the 6 feet of heap of garbage that we want. Villa winning, of course, is the most important thing of that. Like I said, 2-0 for Unai Emery's Aston Villa at the Emirates. Leon Bailey scoring the 84th minute, assisted by Luca Dean. And of course, that man, Super Ollie Watkins, securing Arsenal's fate with a loss in the 87th minute. Yuri Tillemans getting a well-deserved assist on that one. But I mean, Seb, just quickly, initial raw reactions. I know it's easy to say it was a brilliant win, but I mean, what a complete performance. Sorry if I get that out of my mouth correctly, wasn't it?
Yeah, no, measured performance. Tactically astute. We had a clear plan, and it was executed to perfection. The first half was slightly nervy. I think we saw perhaps some moments where you thought we'd be vulnerable to the relentless Arsenal attack. You know, they were showing their quality and they were showing just how quickly they could move the ball forward, but they lacked that cutting edge. And especially with our record going into the early parts of the second half, there were causes for concern from me. There were some thoughts in the back of my mind about our record of conceding in the 45th to 60th minute, that Arsenal would catch us out and that the game would very quickly die down. But we managed that to perfection today. And, you know, Emery came here with a clear plan. You know, he wanted to be tactically astute. And then within the final half hour, you could see almost within the final half hour, the team just expressed themselves in a way that I haven't seen for a long, long time. The way that we were moving the ball forward, the way that we were controlling the tempo, Arsenal didn't really have an answer for us. And I haven't seen Villa play that way away from home in a long, long time. That's the sort of performance where I'd expect to see if I was going to Villa Park. And we've referenced it previously about our away record. But if we start playing like that away from home, we are a serious team to be contended with.
Absolutely. And I think there's a lot of parallels in terms of the away at City loss to this one in terms of the first half. Of course, there was no goal, so that would be the least comparable thing. But of course, all level at the break. I mean, a good first half as a Villa fan going into that one. You're thinking, you know what, if Villa can hold out, they can get something. Of course, it wasn't to be. And again, as a Villa fan, that first half, and Unai Emery says it all the time, we have to suffer. Villa suffered, but they had their opportunities as well. Of course, Ollie Watkins did hit the post. Of course, in the second half, Yuri Tillmans hit two posts at the same time. So, I mean, that is impressive in its own right. But, I mean, to go into the break, not have any changes, know that you have to stick to that game plan. And Villa did just that, Seb, because, I mean, when you sit back and look at it, and we've all had that kind of theme of the season where Villa aren't very good for the opening 15 or so minutes of the second half, but it was the complete different story today, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I'd like to reference the game really changed when Bailey came on. You could see his quality straight away. I thought Diaby had an all right game. I don't think he was perhaps as bad as was suggested, or certainly that I saw was suggested. He certainly did the job, but Bailey coming on gave us that bit more freedom. And again, like the most part this season, he looked a class above. You gave him the ball, he'd run, he'd create options. And I think that's what really opened the game up in Villa's favour. And Emery can look back at that decision as being the one that turned the tie, I reckon.
Well, that's the thing. It's the difference makers off the bench, and actually those difference makers making a difference. And I think that's probably been the biggest, maybe not a hidden gem in terms of the Villa fan base, but probably to the wider footballing media and world that's not really actively paying attention to Villa, is the ability to bring on Leon Bailey or Moussa Diaby or whoever else you want to really throw into that category. Again, it's amazing to bring him on and know he can make a difference. And I mean, what a season he has had this season. And as an FPL owner of Leon Bailey since like November, I am very proud to say that it definitely benefits me up until this week, because I don't know why I was stupid and left him on my bench, but that is a very stupid thing for me, and maybe a sacrilege thing as a Villa fan to leave a Villa player on the bench. But regardless of that, Seb, I mean, maybe we'll backtrack a little bit here for a second for this next point. But of course, the win over Lille at Villa Park on Thursday, the 2-1 win, a lot of people kind of coming out of that one thought it was, and Villa fan or Villa players did too. Of course, there was the post-match stuff with Ollie Watkins and John McGinn thinking a little bit of a missed opportunity, conceding that last-minute goal, thinking, okay, now there's a lot of work heading back to France. Maybe going into this one, a lot of people, especially yesterday with Spurs losing, United dropping points, thinking, okay, this might be a bit of a free hit. How did you kind of feel heading into it? Like, the mentality, maybe speak to us about for me, and then I guess those people listening, maybe to specify even better, but speak to maybe the mentality of heading into this game versus when it actually kicked off, because I think there's something to be said there, because for some reason it just changed. And it was instantly from the moment, for me at least, that Villa got the ball initially from basically minute one. But where does that sit with you?
You reckon?
I think so.
What changed for you?
Well, I guess to answer my own question that I asked you, it's, I don't know. I felt very nervous heading into this one, but I woke up feeling different. And I thought, what's there to be fearful from? And maybe that's because of other teams dropping points. And that's an easy thing to say. But I don't know. I just had, I mean, you're in football coaching now and you're going to school to do well for yourself in that field. You have that feeling sometimes, I'm sure, where you just wake up and you think, you know what, today might be something special. And I don't know, it was one of those things. And you probably look at the lineup and you think, okay, there's no Douglas Luiz. Of course, there's no Boubacar Kamara. You have McGinn and you have Tillmans in there, and you're thinking, okay, there's some work to do. But I think it's just the Unai Emery effect, isn't it?
No, maybe that's the best way to explain it. Yeah, I get what you mean completely. I don't think I was ever particularly worried. We often go back to my flatmates and their
the brilliant flatmates
opinions. So I'll go back to a conversation I had last night, and I actually put a bet on with my roommate that we wouldn't lose by two goals or more. I was always confident that that wouldn't happen. I knew it would be a close game. I knew it would be a tight affair. And it proved to be. It proved to be moments of quality that ended up winning it. Games like these are normally defined by a mistake or by moments of genius. And the second goal, especially by Watkins, was just that. But look, Emery, there was a moment on commentary where Gary Neville said, Konsa I can't remember his exact wording, but he said something along the lines of Constance having a really troubling time. It would have been in the first half, whether to stick with blah, 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 or whether to follow a different runner. And I sat there and I thought to myself, no, he's not. No, he's not. If there's one man in football that will have prepared for any given situation, it's Unai Emery. He'll have told Ezri Konsa exactly what to do. He'll have seen that run coming in his sleep 100 times before. Because that's just the planning that goes into an Unai Emery team. And I think I think Villa fans realise that, but I honestly don't think neutral fans realise that yet. So, no, I was never worried. I don't really get worried for Villa games now. I recognise that games will pose different challenges to before, and I recognise that some games are going to require a different approach. So to not always expect the same fluid, free-flowing, attacking us, Aston Villa. But I always believe, I thought we'd come out with a point. I thought for 60 minutes how we played would be how we play, and I thought that would lead on. I thought it'd be a nervy final 20 where Arsenal were inevitably pushing for a winner and we'd end up holding on for a point. But like I said, moments of quality, and perhaps Arsenal switched off. They became fatigued. They obviously also had a massive game midweek, so you know their minds could have been mentally fatigued as well as ours. But yeah, going back to your original question, no, I was never particularly worried, and it played out how I sort of expected it to, if that makes sense.
No, it does make sense, because I think there's definitely a mentality switch that happens, well, for players, staff, personnel, Unai Emery, for fans, throughout a game and before and even after when you're reflecting on it. And I think it's important to talk about that momentum shift, because, I mean, as Villa fans, we do have Villa PTSD, and it can get heavily negative at times. So it's important to talk about when you have a good feeling. I think that's the main thing when it comes to Villa. But the one player I do want to give some credit to right now, actually, we'll switch it. We'll talk about Zaniolo in just a moment. Let's give some love to John McGinn and Youri Tielemans in the middle. I mean, Youri Tielemans, I knew he had a decent amount about him in terms of on the ball movement, of course, his distribution. The man had some legs today, Seb. And I mean, we all know what to expect from Super John McGinn at this point. But I mean, to be without Boubacar Kamara and Douglas Luiz, and to keep a clean sheet away from home with those two, I mean, outstanding performances in the middle of the pitch from them, wasn't it?
I'd already prepared on what I was going to say from Youri Tielemans, because I've been working with you long enough that you would inevitably ask me at the end who my man of the match was. So, spoiler alert, that is who I'll be going for, Youri Tielemans. I thought he changed the game. I thought he comfortably controlled that midfield. He looked comfortable sitting deep, which is a role that we haven't really seen from him as much since joining, obviously. And then, you know, we all know his quality going forward, so that's not of a surprise to us. But yeah, the way that he sat in a role again that he hasn't really played for us since he's coming in, and let's not beat around the bush, he's got big shoes to fill. Douglas Luiz's quality can often be the difference for us, so he was a massive miss today, but we didn't miss him. There wasn't a hole there. There wasn't a time where I was going, God, if Luiz was on the pitch, this would have turned out differently. We settled really quickly. You know, losing a big player, especially a ground like the Emirates against a team who are chasing the title, a lot of teams you'd notice a big gap or a big void, should I say. But I don't think that was the case today. And credit to John McGinn and Youri Tielemans, I think they coped really well and showed their quality that we've seen so many the times this season.
Well, I think that's a thing too. When you sit back and you look at it, I mean, when Kamara and Luiz play with each other, it's a little bit different, of course, because Kamara is sitting a little bit further back. I mean, they're both good in terms of moving the ball. I mean, you could say excellent oftentimes as well. But when you look at McGinn and then you look at Tielemans, they're very good ball movers. And I mean, of course, we all know about Braveheart. McGinn could put his butt in front of anything and he's going to stop it. And he did that excellently again today. But the one I have to focus on is Yuri Tillemans. I mean, to sit back further and in that position, when you're playing against the likes of Arsenal, who are going to press a lot, so there has to be a lot of movement off the ball, just as much as on the ball as well. I mean, to put in that shift and to do it not tirelessly, but to be that consistent throughout full time, I mean, more than impressive. And really, I think he's one of those players you want further up the pitch to be starting actively because of what he can unlock. And sometimes when he's further back, of course, that can restrict him. Playing long balls against Arsenal typically isn't the most effective thing. But I mean, again, he did the job that was needed. And it's good to see, again, one of those stereotypes that's been put around Villa's, we're running out of gas, there's no steam left in the tank, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, I think, Seb, we definitely proved that wrong again today.
Yeah, I mean you've summed that up really well. I don't really have too much to add to that. Tielemans' quality is brilliant, and he was everywhere today. Yeah, completely.
Well, there we go. I'm glad when I cannot get any words out of you because I make such good sense. That's a very rare thing, but regardless, I will take the full credit on that. Just to give a little breakdown of Tillemans' game that I could find from AVFC threads over on X slash Twitter or whatever the hell you want to call it these days. Of course, he got one assist. He had 41 out of 47 accurate passes, one big chance created, 66 touches, 100% successful dribble rate, one pass into the final third, one interception, one ball recovery, 6 out of 10 ground duels won, and one foul drawn. This says in this post that he's a magician, and I would fully agree with that. Now, Seb, let's switch it quickly over to Nicolò Zaniolo. I mean, we probably brought him up consistently for the last month or so. Initial thoughts, I thought he was having a little bit of an odd game. And there was, I can't remember who was backtracking, if it was Havertz or whoever it was. Anyways, he was running down the line and he was literally 5 to 10 yards ahead of them. And they caught him because honestly, he looked so slow when he was running with the ball at one point. But I mean, he definitely had a redemption arc as the game continued. But where did you sit with his performance on Sunday?
I have had very strong opinions on Nicolò Zaniolo so far this season. And I'm going to be very careful with what I say. He is a unique footballer. His style is certainly something that I'm not used to seeing before. But I'm going to. Because today has been such a good day, I'm going to remain positive and say that he played his cameo and he did his role very well.
That is the most coach answer I think I've ever heard, me slash media train answer I think I've ever heard in
Sorry.
my life. But I mean, fair enough, Seb. If media training 101 was a class while you're in school, I think you just absolutely aced that because that was sitting on the fence at its finest. But no, it is fair. I mean, he is a bit of an enigma in the sense that he could have six games where you don't know where the hell he's doing, and then he just has one where he saves your bacon. I mean, you look, of course, at the draw against Sheffield United at home
And
around
West
Christmas
Ham.
time. Sorry?
And West Ham.
Well, that, yep,
Give
exactly. I
me
was just
credit.
about to bring that up too. I mean, he has contributed positively, as annoying as it can be and frustrating with some of his performances. I honestly, I feel like he's one of those players that'll give you about 25 minutes of pure frustration, but maybe 5 to 10 minutes of where you're just going, where has this been? I mean, if you look back at Villa's history, I can think of a lot of players that fall under that. We can think of the original Captain Chaos, of course, and Bertrand Traore falling under that category, which we would label as a prototypical winger. Leon Bailey even fell under that category not too long ago. And of course, he's absolutely been blown out of that category with his class season thus far. But Seb, I was just looking at the stats, and I mean, when you watch the game, maybe you don't really realize it, but of course, Arsenal had 51% possession. Villa had 49. Do you think it felt like that? Because at points, I was getting a little frustrated with Villa not having the ball, but did it feel like Villa almost had 50, nearly 50% of the ball?
I'd like to know how that differs from the possession rates at half time, because I think it'd be vastly different.
I'll
But
see if I can find
looking,
anything.
I mean, yeah, when you think of the first half, are you able to find it?
I'll see if I can find it. No guarantees, so no pressure.
I will. Yeah. Think about it the first half. It definitely seemed like they had more of the ball. We were comfortable with sitting back, but second half especially, we came out. We almost did an Arsenal on them. We were frustrating them. We were grinding them down. We were playing out from the back. We were playing some really, really good football. So, yeah, casting my mind back to it, that's probably about right. I think it was, definitely a tale of two halves. We sort of dominated the ball in the second. The only time where we didn't really is where we obviously caught them on the break for the second goal, but that was only what, a minute and a half after our first. So, yeah, I think that's about right. But the main thing that matters is the scoreline at the end of the day, and that is obviously in our favour.
100%. Well, I did find it thanks to the magic of Twitter slash X, and it came from Squawka. So I will say it's pretty legit. At halftime, Arsenal had 56.4% possession. Of course, the Villa's 43.6.
Surprised it's not higher than that.
To be honest, I'm actually shocked it's not more like 65, 35. But I mean, again, when Villa did break at times and you sit back and look at it, it wasn't just a kind of a quick blitzing break. Sometimes it was okay, there's nothing here and we'll recycle around. So maybe it was one of those things. Interesting thing at halftime, Arsenal had an expected goals or XG, whatever you want to call it these days, of 1.32 to Villa's 0.31. Very interesting to see that at halftime. They had 14 shots, three on target. Villa had six shots with
That'll be the
zero on
Trossard
target.
chance, won't it?
Oh, yeah, that'll be. I think that had 0.79 XG or something just on its own. But when you sit back and even look at those stats, you would have thought, okay, the first half was very different to what we've described it as. I'm sure when you look at the stats, of course, at the end of the game, and I'll even find those here quickly. Again, of course, Arsenal had 18 shot attempts, four on target to Villa's 11 with two on target. There was four corners to Arsenal to Villa's six. They had 12 fouls to our seven. Even those look a little bit more skewed to Arsenal's side. And maybe someone who didn't really watch the game or wasn't paying attention would have thought, what's going on here? Villa just ran away with it. But again, and we've touched on a little bit Seb already, it wasn't like that for the last 30 minutes, was it? Villa really had a go and they were slowly gaining control. And it just kind of felt, and I mean, let me know what you think here in a second, that the later this game went on, it felt to me that Arsenal were getting more frustrated. And when they were getting more frustrated, they weren't doing smarter things with the ball. And that only benefited Unai Emery's men, didn't it?
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah, 100%. You've summed it up really well. The crowd started getting onto their backs. They started getting restless. Obviously, it's a must win for Arsenal. So, the second half probably felt like the minutes were going a lot quicker than they actually were. They were having to try and almost create different opportunities to what they usually do because we were so solidified at the back. Carlos again had a great game. I think that was referenced enough on TV. I don't think I need to go over that and bore people again. His two performances against Arsenal this season have been nothing short of spectacular. But it symbolised just how good we were today and just how much we forced them to veer off course by them bringing off their captain in Martin Ødegaard, the person who, you know, was pulling the strings in the first half, for him to be pulled off in the second half, I think explains a lot about how we played and how we ended up dictating the play in the second half and forcing Arsenal to almost play how we wanted to. If I had to compare it to another performance this season, it would be City at home. I think those are the two games where we've had opposition where people probably expected us to not have a sniff, and we have not only won the game, but we've won the game by controlling the game and by forcing the opposition, forcing their hand to nullify their weaknesses as much as we can.
Yeah, and I'd even like, and I don't have the stats available, but I would love to see the distance covered for some of Villa's players today, because albeit, I mean, again, you could compare it to beating Arsenal 1-0 or City 1-0 around Christmas time, back-to-back, but it almost felt like this one, when Villa did have possession, as I said before, playing around with the back, it wasn't, the urgency was there, but it wasn't as though we really had to stress about it, if you know what I mean, Seb. There was a calmness such, I mean, Unai Emery is always seen on the touchline, moving his hands, quiet down, calm down, kind of reset your minds kind of thing. And I would argue this might have been one of the most calmest Villa performances of the season. Do you think that's fair to say? I don't know. There was some kind of a surety about this game. I didn't really feel like we were, aside from, of course, the Trossard chance, I didn't really feel like we were ever under an intense amount of pressure that we couldn't handle. Or do you think that's too far to say?
No, I completely agree. And I agree, because there's been times this season where we've looked calm and it's ended up coming back to bite us, and it's ended up going the other way. And we've, you know, how many times have we collapsed this season, or how many times have we switched off? Even when we're winning 3-0 and it hasn't cost us and we've just conceded a stupid goal late on. But there was none of that today. It was calm but switched on, which was the difference.
Absolutely. And of course, it is obvious now that we do now focus back on European competition in the Europa Conference League. Of course, heading to France against Lille and Canada's own Jonathan David. A little bit of a pride thing there. Not watching that performance at Villa Park didn't make me very proud to be a Canadian, I'm not going to lie. Didn't even barely notice him until he fell over the ball later on in the game. But regardless of that, always nice to see a Canadian on the international or European stage, I guess you could say. But regardless of that, how do you feel in heading into this one? Because like I said before, I don't really understand why Villa fans are feeling negative about this one. Villa do go in with the advantage. And to be honest, I feel like if we play even a little bit better, and I know there was defensive lapses in the first game, but I feel like if we put forth a similar effort with a little bit more tweaks at the back in terms of tightening it up, I don't know why there should be any negativity.
I'm not feeling great about it.
Why though? I don't get it. Like, okay, I generally don't.
Okay. I'll try and map this out. So I am expecting us to go there very tired after today. Putting in a performance today comes with its costs. And I think mentally, you know, we were speaking about Arsenal and how they were mentally fatigued. I think that is a risk. I mean, probably wrong of me, but when I was sat in Villa Park and we conceded the goal, it was such a dampener, more than it probably should have been, considering how well we played. So the fact that it looked like we were going to have a two-goal advantage, which has ended up being halved. Lille are really strong at home. We haven't particularly been very strong away from home all competition, which is definitely in the back of my mind. I mean, I wouldn't say I'm negative by any stretch of the imagination. I am still very confident, and I think we will end up progressing. But I don't think it will be an easy feat. And I think it could potentially go the full distance, perhaps, which isn't good for the heart rate. I'm just trying to work out whether I am working on Thursday. I am working on Thursday. So what I'm going to have to do is I will be on the training pitch with an AirPod in, listening to Villa TV, which, again, is not going to be good for the heart rate.
You're going to be screaming out. And they're going to be like, what did we do wrong?
Yeah. Oh God, if it goes to penalties, I am going to be as everyone will be, an absolute wreck.
Oh, I can relate to that. I remember the shootout, playoff shootout against West Brom, and I was in the gym. I can't remember what machine was on. I just remember sitting there watching it. I'm sure someone else probably wanted to use that machine I was on, and I was probably driving them nuts because I probably didn't move for like 15 minutes, wasn't doing anything. But oh, it is
to be
absolute
fair, the
torture.
adrenaline you must have had when we won, you probably could have gone up at least
five. Oh,
I probably
broke my record. I probably squatted the most in the world after that. No, I definitely didn't. But I mean, yeah, it does give you a little bit of a boost. But a lot of people kind of going into this one are saying, of course, Lille have like a 7-day break that benefits them massively, or maybe it's a little bit more. Fair enough. But I'm just looking at Lille's schedule now. So, of course, they have Villa on Thursday. And this is important for context, too, because they have Strasbourg on Sunday and then Monaco on the Wednesday and then play Sunday again. The reason I bring that up is because Lille are fourth. I think they still have around, what, I think like 6 or 8 games or something around there left in the league season. They're still playing for Champions League qualification. Monaco are right ahead of them. Strasbourg are still kind of mid-table, maybe not 100% secure at this point in time. I mean, there's a lot to play for in their own domestic league. So you can look at the rest thing, but then now you look at Villa and think, you know what, there's 2 wins on the bounce, 1 home, a massive one away that no one was expecting. Let's be completely honest, Seb. I mean, it is going to be tough. There's nothing given in life that should be that easy. But I mean, the side put out today, and again, it's without the likes of Douglas Luiz, Kamara, Mings, Buendia. I mean, the list goes on, and we're still doing this. So I kind of look at even the Ajax game away was the first leg, and of course, nil nil going into the Villa Park game, the second leg is more of an advantage, and I understand that, but I'm kind of treating it with that same mentality. You just grind that game out, and that's exactly what we did in that first leg. So you would have to expect the same for the second leg here, wouldn't you?
Yes. Yeah. I it'd be interesting to see what lineup we go with. Because we've got, is it Bournemouth on the
Sunday?
On the Sunday, right. Okay. Yeah, of course. Well, it would be a Sunday, wouldn't it? It's not going to be a Saturday, so
it looked like you're debating your life there for a second, so I had to just kind of jump in and save you a second.
Yeah, well, I love trying to get into the head of Unai Emery and trying to work out what team. It wouldn't surprise me if Tim Arogbenham starts potentially, but would you start him Thursday or Sunday? Because I think Thursday's too much of a risk, so it'd be Sunday. Luiz will obviously play. McGinn surely must be knackered, although he's just had a 3-match break, so I take that back.
McGinn's actually playing. There's no way in hell he's not playing. Like, it's too important. Like, it would be the same argument for Watkins. You'd maybe would have said, like, after 1-0, maybe why wouldn't you have taken him off right away? Or, like, even before, I mean, Duran still can be effective. We saw that against City in previous games. He's played the full 90. So,
you've got to remember, it also makes a massive difference that we've got our, how do I say this, strongest back four back. Dinya, yeah. Carlos, Concert, and Torres is the back four that served us best this season. So the fact that we could utilize them again, I would, Longley coming back to fitness, Moreno obviously got a cameo today. You know, we certainly have options. I think it'd be a really interesting match. I do think we'll end up going through, but I think it will be a very, very close game.
Yeah, no, I think it will be extremely close. And of course, we have to remind ourselves as well, Matty Cash has come back. And I think just being on the bench, of course, it might be a little bit longer till he starts playing minutes. Who knows? But you do have to sit back and look at that. Does alleviate Konsa at right back. And that does give, of course, Unai Emery the opportunity to move Konsa back to center back if needed. Now you're looking at what Konsa, Longley, Torres, and Carlos as a back four in terms of center backs. Now you, of course, have Matty Cash back at right back as an option too. I think it can give so many different kind of outlets to how they can set up now. I think there's a lot more kind of maybe stress relief in terms of him coming back, because I think it's a lot of minutes to expect Ponza to actively play it right back. And the only reason I say that, I mean, of course, a clean sheet today helps, but there was one instance where I can't remember who was driving, kind of cutting in from the right, cutting more to the middle, laid it off to Konza, and Konza broke like 5, 10 yards ahead of whoever was
Think it
right
might have been
behind him.
Rogers.
Yeah. And I just felt like if that was Matty Cash, he would have been gone. No one would have caught him. When you're asking that of a center back who's playing right back, it's a completely different thing. And
Yeah.
I no again, no slate to Konza, but again, it's another dimension completely, isn't it?
Yeah, completely. Having those options, you don't need me sitting here telling you again, the importance of squad depth. I think I've banged on for about 4 years too many. So yeah, the fact that we have it now to utilize, obviously a dampener with all the injuries we've had, but getting some of the players back that we are now, it's a crucial time to have them back. So we'd be silly not to utilize them.
Fair enough. Well, Seb, no sitting on the fence with this one. Just quickly, yes or no? Are Villa advancing to the Europa Conference League semifinals?
Yes.
There we go. That's all I needed. I'm going with a yes as well. And the reason I asked that, because we're going to move over to the X slash Twitter polls now. Of course, you can interact with us at HoltCastPod over on Twitter slash X. I really have to make a decision on what I want to call it, but I feel like when I start calling it X, somehow Elon Musk will start calling it Twitter again. I don't know. So until that paranoia goes away, I will refer to both. But anyways, we do put out three polls usually after post-match on Sunday or on Sunday regardless, because that's our main recording day. And of course, we want you guys to get involved. They can be out for usually an hour or two. It was only an hour today, but thank you very much to the few hundred that did get involved across all polls. So the first one, of course, was who is your man of the match today? Of course, Seb, you already said,
Elements.
fair enough there. That's who I went with as well when I was doing a spaces with another X Twitter account earlier today. Of course, Diego Carlos was the winner, 70.2%. Jurre Tielemans was second with 21.1. John McGinn was sixth, and at 2.8% went with other. And actually, people finally actually responded to that. Thank goodness. Because when I say other and comment below and people don't comment, it leaves me a little bit confused. I can't remember who said it, and I'll try to find it here when we get over to the next one or next time Seb speaks to find it, but someone thought it was criminal that we didn't include Zaniolo in this one. But that is what the other is for. It's for engagement, people. So do engage. Second question, of course, will Aston Villa advance to the semifinals of the Europa Conference League? Of course, we both said yes, and there's 85.6% of pure positivity coming from these voters. 14.4 negative Nancys said no. We'll leave it at that. And of course, the most important question of all, the most serious of the non-serious, what's the best time of year? Seb, your options are summer, fall, winter, and spring.
Summer, easily. The sun sets later, it's hotter, you get a tan. Summer. Of course.
Of course. And 52.2% of people went with summer. I don't really honestly know why you wouldn't. As a dog owner of almost a 2-year-old cockapoo, I 100% agree with that. I hate snow. Getting in his fur drives me absolutely nuts and have to use a whisk to get it out. And just the, oh, anyways, I don't like messes on the floor. It just drives me nuts. Anyways, 26.1% went with spring in second place. Third place was fall with 13.8%. And a straight 8% went with winter. You absolute sickos. Anyways, Mr. P got involved and said autumn. Don't know if that was to be a smart comment. You can only pick four. I do apologize to Mr. P. But regardless of that, let's get over to this.
So, hence me getting a yellow card for saying I think you've had juggling balls for Christmas.
And of course, it's everyone's favorite game. It's Dean Smith's Juggling Six. It's back as per every single week. And I would like to think it's every Villa fan's favorite Villa-related game. So, of course, I came up with this one a little bit later than usual, but nonetheless, hopefully Seb can provide some wisdom on this one. And it's about our own Mr. Boss, Master, of the universe, Sir Unai Emery. Of course, Unai Emery has been a head coach slash manager for a number of clubs, including, let's see here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 clubs. So Seb, Dean Smith wants you to name 6 of the clubs that Unai Emery has managed. I will give you 2 chances to get it wrong.
Okay. I feel there's a lot of pressure riding on this one because I have no teammates to help me out like I normally do to bail me out. However, I feel like this question is being quite kind. So I... Does Villa count as one?
Of Can course. Yes, correct. I'd be very concerned.
Now, do I go in order here or do I just try and rattle them off?
You can do what you want. It's a free podcast.
Okay, so how many do I... 6?
Yes.
6?
Yeah. Yep, so you have Villa, 1 out of 6. Yep.
Villarreal, correct. Obviously. Then he was at another Villa, wasn't he? Sevilla.
Correct.
Sevilla. Arsenal.
There's 4.
Paris Saint-Germain.
5. This is where you might struggle. This is why I picked this, because I figured you could actually lose this, even if I gave you 2 lies, because once I read it, I was like, oh, yes. But if I would have thought of it, I would have never got it.
Okay.
You're basically, you've named every team from 2013 onwards. It's 2012 and before that you have left, and there's 4 teams.
He was definitely at another Spanish club. I can't remember what Spanish club that was. And he was also at an obscure club.
Well, you have 2 chances to get it wrong, so why don't you just have a go?
Because I'm trying to see if I can remember the
club that he was at. Be brave, Seb. Be brave. Have a go. Come on.
Yeah, but it will feel so much better for my own ego and pride if I can get this without losing any lives. So he was at an obscure club.
This is going to be fun to edit. That's all I can say. Okay.
I'm going to throw a shot in the dark.
Okay.
So I know he was at a Spanish club, but I can't put my name on it. So did he spend a period at Spartak Moscow?
That is correct. In 2012, he was at Spartak Moscow.
Was the other Spanish club Valencia?
Correct. That was before Spartak Moscow.
Sure enough now.
Of course. Do you want to even have one go at the 2 before that? This would be from 2004 to 2006. Pardon?
There's 2 before that.
Yeah, from 2004 to 2006, and then 2006 to 2008.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
You're not going to get it. just have a random guess. I think actually.
Okay. Can I have a clue?
I believe the...
It's 2 Spanish clubs, right?
Yeah, I believe the one he was at from 06 to 08 is still in La Liga. Let me just
double. That was going to be my question. Are they still in the top division? So only one of them still in the top division.
Let me check. I guess they technically are still. They are not doing very well at all.
Technically?
They are. Okay. But they're not doing well at all.
They have the badge that's like the weird badge, the skinny shield. Almeria?
Correct. That is very, very good. I'm not going to even ask you to name the first club he was at. Of course, that was Lorca Deportiva. No, I probably even pronounce that. So, of course,
my downfall.
He was there from 04 to 06. 06 to 08, he was at Almeria. 08 to 2012, Valencia. 2012, he was at Spartak Moscow.
How many games was he at Deportiva for?
Doesn't say. I'm just looking at trusty Wikipedia. Of course, from 13 to 16, he was at Sevilla, where he had much success in the Europa League. PSG from 2016 to 2018, 18 to 19, Arsenal. 2020 to 2022, Villarreal. And of course, now he's leading Villa on a European adventure.
He was at Deportiva because he retired as a player at Deportiva and was asked to be a coach. So he was only there for 8 games.
Well, there you go. Of course, he made 30 appearances, according to Wikipedia, scoring 1 goal for Deportiva when he was playing. Of course, he had to retire at a very young age. But of course, Seb, Dean Smith congratulates you and gives you a temporary knighthood. So, you know, no problem. All the way from Charlotte, he sends his best regards. But anyways, we will leave things at that. Thank you very much to Seb for joining me. Of course, you can find him on Twitter slash X, whatever the heck you want to call it, at SebastianBacon8. You can find me on there at Talk Aston Villa. Tweet the team at HoltCastPod. And of course, if you want to email us for any known reason, it's HoltCast@gmail.com. We should hopefully have something out post-match after Lille. Of course, I think our very own Simon O'Regan is going to Lille, so hopefully he does make it back at some point in the near future and doesn't grow a fancy French mustache and have one of those fancy French hats with a baguette. But anyways, we'll leave it there, and don't you forget, up the Villa.
We're going up.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.